Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Go, Red Sox.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear this your second anniversary wedding. I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here. Happy birthday. We celebrate you today. Hope your birthday is booming.
And I could do a split. Yeah, I occasionally smoke weed. I did ecstasy 10 years ago. I never smoked crack. I did a few lines. Oh, the dolphin on my back.
Who stars in a movie?
Actors and actresses.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. I texted Bird last night. I had a meal last night out that was absolutely atrocious.
We have pizzas. We have 300 hamburgers.
Is that from, is that Trump from the...
Many, many French fries.
Oh, no. That's from the Clemson one. Because apparently he did the same thing with like some jabroni team,
North Dakota State,
and he was very pleased with himself that he had Chick-fil-A. He had gone out and kind of spruced things up, and apparently he said that great company, American company, the Burger King. Don't be confused by the name; it's not a monarchy. It is indeed just a American company. You got very so this is the new thing, is that now he's going to insist upon fast food, which I would have no problem with.
Many, many French fries.
French fries. But if I was me, if you go to someone's house and they have put out food that they have made, more than one dish, It's disgusting, unless it's a barbecue, because we went to someone's house and they said, "Oh, and the kids helped make this." What are you doing? You're going to serve this to normal people?
This was the meal out?
No. Last night was a terrible meal.
This is a separate thought.
This is a separate thought because everyone gave Trump crap for having fast food, even though he had many, many French fries. But they said, I would take that. I went to someone's house one time, and they just had poured Taco Bell onto a table. And I said, this is heaven on earth.
It's not bad.
No. It's not pizza. It's not. I mean, they went out of their way. They went to Taco Bell and went crazy. But those same people earlier, and I think I shamed them into getting something else, had their kids make food.
What'd they make?
Oh, I didn't eat it. I mean, they when she said your kid's diarrhea hands got into everything, I don't want to touch it.
How old were the kids? How old? Were they teenagers or were they like 8?
No, because no one would make a deal about teenagers. No, they were like 8.
Okay.
And so they had like crap on their hands. They don't know how to wash their hands properly.
Mm-hmm. Sneezing and stuff. And
I just imagine Rich
rubbing their nose.
I'm just trying to think of Rich, the germaphobe that he is, walking into that room
who knows?
That thought striking him.
Who knows what he does? He's got Mr. Rogers. Probably puts on a sweater and sits down and enjoys
a cardigan. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll have seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, another round. Sure.
Yeah, he. I mean, that's disgusting. So I am the one who has no problem with Trump serving fast food. None. Especially, what was the school? North Dakota State?
Yes.
Why are you even at the White House?
Hockey championship?
They should have a White Castle.
Yeah, right? No, they're probably happy to get out to the big city and get find a McDonald's. Yeah, they're like, oh.
They're a long ways from anywhere.
There's North a Burger King here?
Yeah. Or they were FBS football. Well, congratulations.
Is that what it was?
Sorry. Yeah, well, yeah. Why do you get to go to the White House? Seriously, you should go to you should go to the treasurer of North Dakota.
You get to go to Bismarck. That's the trip.
Yeah.
The State House.
Yeah, you get to go to the State House and they say hello.
Congratulations.
You know Trump just had him.
You were the only one
who could unveil
another
big feast. Because it normalizes him. All right. This was odd. So I will take this phone call. Donnie, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I repossess cars. And this morning I was in this little neighborhood in Newton, and the car wasn't there, so I pulled around the corner, and I was typing the next address into my GPS. And all of a sudden, I see this man coming out of his house. I looked over. I said, oh, my God. I said, I think that's Fred. So I yelled out Freddy out my window, and he goes, yeah, baby. I panicked because I wasn't expecting it to actually be Fred. And so in my mind, I'm going, don't be creepy, don't be creepy. And then I think I said something to
you. No, you said, I am not being creepy. That's what you said.
Yeah, see? Yes, exactly.
I didn't think you were stalking my house. I assumed that there was something going
on. I wanted to give you the backstory of how I ended up in your neighborhood, because I would find that quite alarming if that was me and I was a public figure and someone recognized me in front of my house.
That's a good point, though. Dan had a good point in the other room. I mean, you repossess cars in Newton?
Right. Well, listen,
wow.
Not everyone can afford the luxury.
My goodness. It's a big fake
now,
job.
You
got to keep up appearances.
Okay, now you saw my house. Do you understand how hard that would be to dig out my house?
your driveway does look like it would be kind of a challenge. It looks like there's a down slope a little bit.
Yes, and that's where all the snow goes.
Yes, I could understand how that would be quite laborious.
Feeling a little guilty, perhaps?
Me?
Yes.
No, I'm explaining myself. Rich got so pissy about it. Yeah, I'm explaining myself. And then I got the third degree from Hardy. I don't think people understand where I live.
I think the reason you're getting the third degree from Hardy and from Zolak is that you might be still a little defensive about it, and they smell blood and continue to go after you.
Oh, there's no question. It was funny. That was funny. I don't know why Rich got so pissy at me. But so you saw that, Donnie, right?
Time it snows, I can come shovel. I know where you live now.
Yeah.
Now that's creepy.
That sounds like, now, don't tell where I live, not that I care, but don't, because I don't want to, what, was there a car on my street you were supposed to repossess?
It was the street behind your street. So what I did was I took a left and another left. That way they wouldn't see me sitting out front of their house in case they looked out. And I was typing into the GPS, and that's when I saw you.
Okay, so if you were going, if you were looking away from my house, like up the hill, it was towards the right?
Yes, it was. If you take a right out of your driveway, you take another right onto that small side road, I was right there, essentially right behind your house.
Huh. Ooh, interesting. I'll have to look at that. So you were repossessing a car. Ooh.
Can I tell you what kind of vehicle it was, at least?
No,
that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, you can't do that. All right, Donnie. Well, don't be creeped out. That was fine. I have no problem with that at all.
All right. Well, you take care, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, that happened this morning.
What time?
I left the house a little before 5.
Because that's what made me creepy about it, right? It's just that early in the morning in your neighborhood.
Repossessed cars, you got to go and you know.
No, I understand. But you don't know he's repossessing cars at 5 in the morning.
But he had a truck that with like crap on it. No, it wasn't creepy.
Got it.
That happened to me once. I tell you this story. I was alone in Natick Center at about 4:30 in the morning. I was getting some money out of a machine coming into work, and this box truck like rolls up by me. I'm all by myself on the street. And this box truck goes by about 30 feet and stops. And I'm the only one on the street. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen now? I'm all by myself. There's nowhere to go. If some really weird guy gets out, I got no place to go. The window rolls down. The guy rolls out, leans out the window and screams, "Hey, Waldick, where you at?" And then rolled things up and just kept going.
Wow. Yeah, I've only had one incident here where I've had two. One was on a train where some guy just immediately started yelling at me, but I was pretty drunk. It was like Patriots Day.
Like the tea?
Yeah. And he started like yelling at me, but I was like all, because Patriots Day is a very drunk day for me. And then I was at a Bruins game sober, and a guy in the bathroom, there was like no one else in the bathroom, he just came in like and hit me with his shoulder. And that was his big talk to me. But normally, everyone's very nice.
Well, I was going to say, so those are the only incidents you're saying? That's not the only times you're getting recognized.
Negative.
Got it.
Like negative.
Got it. The old shoulder bump in the bathroom is a bold move, I'd say.
I mean, I was just like, oh, Jesus.
Weird really? In about five different ways.
Yeah. That's like in the bathroom?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, most people that come in to do work in the house, if they're between the ages of 20 and like 50, there's a good chance that they recognize me.
Yeah.
And then if you do, say something, because then ultimately I have to tip you. Because I never, like, do you tip a plumber?
I don't own a house, so I don't know.
No, not the last time the guy was at the house. No, I did not tip
my son took a dump and it cost me $140 plus tip to clean the dump.
Clog the toilet.
Clog the toilet in such a fashion. I'm going to end up having to. So the guy brought a, what do you call that there? The
snake?
The snake.
Yeah.
And he had to call someone else from the company to bring a bigger snake.
Oh, jeez.
And the snake, legit, I'm not exaggerating, was 5 feet long. And so he had to just, and my son's 10.
Yeah.
And he thought it was hysterical. I go, you realize, because I tipped the guy, it was 120, so I tipped him $20.
Seems like a good tip.
He had to get a
whole nother snake.
I mean, but he was a fan of the show. I don't know how to tip in those situations. And you know, I don't know whose company it is. I don't know how you're supposed to tip, but I tipped the guy. So I told my son it's $140. He found it hysterical.
All right, I have one question for you, Fred. Guy who worked on it, there was a problem in the central alarm system in the house. A guy came over. He was about 28, 29 years old. And we have a nice, pleasant conversation. I show him where all the alarms are in the house and all that stuff. And then right at the end, right before the tipping situation would happen, he looked me in the eye and said, "You know what? I really miss Crash. What do you do? Hmm. What do you do there? Do you tip him? Do you not tip him?" Because he was dead serious.
I'm not positive what you're. I'm not positive if you're supposed to tip in those situations.
Well, I mean, he was nice. He went out of his way, but right at the end, it was like he was holding it in the entire time. Okay. And this was full disclosure at the end of the day. You know, I really don't like you. I miss Crash. Well, so what do you do with that?
I wouldn't tip him.
And I didn't.
Were you planning on it before that?
Yes.
You were like ready to go.
I was ready to go.
Yeah, some of those situations, I don't know. Well, Bird's not here.
Really?
But I asked Bird to get Dunkin' Donuts last night.
Well, we're efforting Bird, but yeah, the text was, I'll be several minutes late, and I text you back. I'm like, so that means you just woke up.
Oh. People are shaking their heads in the other room.
Could be a long long line of Dunks. A lot of people like to go to Dunks.
Dunks is right around the corner.
Because I knew I'd be hungry, but the deal with Bird is, I said, if you get me Dunkin' Donuts today, I'll give you a $75 Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
Oh, okay.
So I'm essentially paying him $70 to go get me Dunkin' Donuts.
To be late? To come in at 7 o'clock?
Listen, I was late.
He's off the hook because he's getting you food. I guarantee you that's going to be the first words out of his mouth. I had to stop and get Fred food.
Yeah.
Long line of ducks.
And then everyone will go away.
Yeah, that's a one-way street. You didn't ask anybody else.
You get what someone else gets you food.
All right, big night for both local teams, and Jones has a very interesting take on the Bruins in hockey in general, which I find...
I read it, and I'm like, yep, good to see
you. Well, we talked about it on the air when he wasn't here. I just find it fascinating. So we'll talk about both those victories coming up.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We are on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv... Is that it? And then if you go to the Twitch app, you can be like my family and pretend to watch us. They have it on a computer. They can't figure out how to get it on TV. A little odd. All right, so the Bruins, they're down 2-0 last night. But did anyone feel deflated in the room when they were down 2-0?
I thought that last night was going to be the night they came up short because they were making a lot of stupid mistakes. They had a couple of too many men on the ice penalties.
Yes.
But what Carolina those... caught, well, Carolina caught and got them out of sorts. They were overly physical, and the Bruins reacted poorly to that. And it happens. It happens once in a while. Even good teams struggle some nights, regardless of where it was. And when they were down 2-0, I was thinking, okay, because of all of these things, maybe this is the night they come up short.
Well, the excitement of that Backus fight was unbelievable, the way that he took two punches and fell. But, hey, the fourth line got involved, and so here it is. It's a 2-0 game, and Wagner gets involved.
He had 5 shots in the first. Make it 6. They score!
Lame goal. And then our good friend, Jake DeBrusk, who, to my knowledge, did not thank the show again.
Didn't see it. I was looking for the sign under the water bottle. Didn't see that either.
Well, he had an opportunity after the game, but I'll give him a break because he was probably still excited. But, the suggestion of him grabbing a sign from the crowd and skating around in circles was not to be, but he tied it up.
Pounded up to the near point, Slavin down, and it's intercepted. Krejci over the line, left side, stops, shoots back a lane to the save. They score! Jake DeBrusk, he's got goals in 8 of 10, got the rebound and tucked it under the crossbar. Bruins 2, Hurricanes 2.
Yeah, DeBrusk is someone you don't want to trade. So Bergeron, we don't have to play the highlight, makes it 3-2. Carolina comes back in there. Now, Adam Jones sent an email out, and I'll get to the positive first. You were a big fan of the Whalers uniform.
I like the Whalers uniform. I like the whole night last night. You know, so, I like honoring them being back in Boston. I know I hate everything. I actually do like that.
But the thing is that we were talking about it yesterday off the air, is that the Whalers, I think, if you did not live in not the Northeast, if you didn't live within the immediate vicinity of Hartford.
Right, like Hartford, right. Like West Hartford.
Yeah, it didn't, I never thought of Hartford. Like, they were, and then we were like, where's Hartford? And then the idea that Hartford's pissed that they don't have a team.
Well, not I don't care about any of that, but just the nostalgia of seeing the unit. It's a good logo.
No, but what I'm saying is that, no, I have no problem with it.
Wearing the jersey.
But what I'm saying is that I don't think that means anything to anyone, except for people that grew up in...
Hartford.
I'm not even going to say New England, but in Connecticut or Boston.
Yeah, I didn't see the reasoning behind it. You're right. You're right. It means something to older Bruin fans who remember the rivalry and whatever. But wearing the Hartford Whalers uniform is just strange.
Well,
Colorado Avalanche go back to Montreal. They wear the Quebec Nordiques uniform. It's weird.
Or they should, though.
But they don't.
They should.
I understand it. Is it just as simple as a money grab for merchandising?
Well, Dan mentions the Thrashers in my year. Well, the Thrashers were in Atlanta. which is a real city.
Yeah, you take that out because Atlanta lost not one but two NHL teams.
Well, I mean that's their own fault. But like, does anyone?
But if Atlanta did the Thrashers did a throwback night, would they wear Flames jerseys? I don't care about Winnipeg because they moved.
I'm sure that Atlanta wore Flames jerseys. I had season tickets. I'm sure at one point they did it. I didn't pay for them, but I had season tickets. But I just found that people are still upset that Hartford moved. What the hell is Hartford?
Right. The better question is how they got a team in the first place.
Yeah, like I've lived here since 2006. And I've gone to New York City. I've traveled around. I've never been to Hartford. I've never sniffed Hartford.
Oh, it's not great.
Well, the NHL.
It's not a great smell. It's not a place you want to be sniffing.
People leave Hartford. It's empty at night, correct?
Yeah, last time I was in Hartford, that's actually a good way of describing it.
Go to Hartford for Friday night. Everyone leaves.
My wife and I went out, and every place was empty. Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, like, in dead seriousness, why would one go to Hartford? Like, what is the industry?
You want to update your insurance policy, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's insurance.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have Hartford.
And ESPN. I think that's it.
So Bristol's by Hartford.
Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes, yeah.
Okay, because I've never heard of anything, because New Haven's the pizza situation, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through New Haven on a train,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Frank Pepe's.
Yeah. Well, not doing well here, I'll tell you that. So, Krejci, it's overtime, and DeBrusk strikes again. That Krejci and DeBrusk seems okay.
Stolen by DeBrusk. Near circle DeBrusk. Centers. Backhand. They score!
So I look at this as a very special run. I look at this as I don't think beating Tampa Bay is out of the question at this point. But Adam Jones, I've heard this on the air and I've commented on it, and you sent in an email last night. You are not a fan of getting a point in overtime.
Well, no, not when you lose. Like, I mean, it's.
But you call these pity points,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, pity points, yeah.
But they won in overtime.
No, sure. So last night, they deserve the full 2 points. They deserve it. Does Carolina deserve a point for losing? Like, what other sport do we do that in?
No, I don't. I think you should get 3 for regulation, 2 for 3-on-3, and 1 for a shootout.
Why? But why should they reward teams for losing?
No, I agree. But it seemed like when the Bruins were on this streak, you found a reason to...
Well, no. What I would say is that the streak is 4 games. They've won 4 in a row. That's the streak.
They've won 11 out of 12. That's the streak.
Well, that's not really a streak.
That's impressive as hell.
There was a break in the middle of the streak where they lost, is my point. We're like, oh, it's 17 in a row. Well, it's not really 17 in a row. They've lost 3 or 4 in that
but
stretch.
But you seem to be taking the shine off what is a fantastic run by this team. It really is. You win 11 out of 12 in the National Hockey League?
It's a nice little run, yes.
Okay. If this is where we're going to start the conversation, there's really no conversation to be had.
Do you find this team likable?
Yes. Yeah. They're playing well. Who said they're not playing well? I just think the streak is a little overrated. That's all. They're playing really well, they're a likable team.
They're 9-0-1 in the last 10.
Yes.
Okay, but you give them 4 in a row.
Yeah, that's the win streak. What other sport would we give them more than 4 wins in a row?
Yeah, but what other sport did they have to play Tampa Bay in the second round?
Yeah, I'm not very bullish on them getting past Tampa Bay. I guess I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, no, that's the thing now is that, of course, you're not bullish about them beating Tampa Bay. But at this point, and especially when they get healthier, when they get Pasternak back, and if you will play the Cassidy interview, Cassidy says he expects... So here's what Cassidy said. He said he expects Pasternak to play on the second line, but if he's injured and it's affecting him, he'll put him back on the first line. So if you and I don't mind hiding on the first line, that's fine. Now there are 2 very good lines if they can move Pasternak down. The third line. Okay, I'll ask you a question. Do you play Backes in the playoffs?
I would prefer not to. Like, if they're healthy enough and it's Johansson and Coyle and you keep your fourth line together and Pasternak's back, then I'd probably prefer to have him out.
Fighting's been his thing recently, and that has no place in the playoffs.
You know, Heinen would be... Would Heinen be on that third? No, I'd keep Heinen on that line with Bergeron and Marchand.
Right.
And then I'd have Pasternak on the Krejci line. Right. So who would be the third guy there? Maybe it would be Backes.
Well,
like who would be over Backes? Okay, Solarik?
Maybe
it would be Backes.
So it'd be Coyle, Johansson. We don't know. He got hurt last night. I don't know how bad it is. But Johansson's going to drop from the second line when Pasternak comes back. Let's just say everything is okay and Pasternak plays on the second line.
Yeah, Backes
you drop Johansson down.
I don't love him in the lineup, but he's probably on your
Coyle,
line.
Coyle, Johansson, and Backes. Those would be the three?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. They give out these weird contracts. I don't understand why they.
Well, that was a gigantic mistake by Sweeney. That was his first year, right? Well,
and also
when he gave out that contract,
but they gave it to him because he's good in the room, and they felt that they had lost the room.
No, didn't he give out Bolesky the year before?
Oh, I thought that was the same year. I could be wrong.
Well, no, they gave Bolesky it because they thought he was a playoff performer, and they gave Backes the big deal because they thought they needed help in the room.
Yeah, Bolesky scored a lot of goals right into his walk year, and so that was it. He had one second half of the season, too, for Anaheim. Was that right?
Yeah.
He had one big second half of the season for the Ducks, and Sweeney's like, okay, let's project this forward, and in reality, he was not good.
All right, let's just go to Krejci. Krejci talks about the win.
We learn how to win games in different ways, so that's credit to our team. But like I said, you know, we know that teams coming in here and they're going to bring their A games, so they always give us a good challenge. We're finding a way to win hockey games in different ways.
See how I don't write this stuff down? I just go by Mike's sheet. Not so hard. Put it off the top of my head. All right.
I mean, you're telling me you don't type out a script beforehand is what you're saying?
No, I think it's an incredible waste of time.
Okay.
All right.
Well, good for you.
All right. Well, I'm not saying
I'm very proud of you.
I don't think I'm anything special. I just think it's unnecessary.
I gotcha.
All right. When we come back, the Celtics with a big win over there at Golden State. And if you want to talk about a team that probably just said, screw it, halfway through a game, that's probably what Golden State did. Here are the headlines. I'm going to have to burp, but I don't want to seem like a radio badass. So I'm trying to mitigate the damage. I don't want to sound like, ow, I don't care. I'm burping into the mic. There you go. That's over. Nice. 617-779-0985. Jamie, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
You guys kill some time now on my 1 hour drive that I have to work.
Just killing time here, too. That's all I'm trying to do.
You guys touched upon it as I was calling in. The Bruins are doing this all without arguably their best player this year, Pasternak.
Right.
I think even give him more credit. And who cares if you get a point in overtime?
Well, that's all Jones. Jones is...
Yeah, I just wouldn't... they've been playing well. I just wouldn't call it a 17-game streak. That's all. They've just lost a bunch of games in there. That's all.
Right. I believe when they changed the rules to 3-3, that's when they got the point, right?
Well, yeah, no. Well, they used to give out a point for tying because you didn't lose, but now you lose in shootouts in 3-on-3, so that's again why I think it's silly. But don't let me bog you down. Your point was about positive.
Okay.
How many losses in this 7-game streak, Jones?
No, four? But
I think four.
Am I not correct in thinking 2 or 3 years ago they got screwed because they kept losing in shootouts?
Sure. I mean, well, they didn't really get screwed. They were getting extra points for games they lost. But
No. Because I hate the shootout.
Yep.
I absolutely hate the shootout. Because if you look at the lineups that they put out for shootouts, it's not the best players. Often.
No. Cassidy, a lot of times this year, hasn't used Bergeron in his top three, which makes no sense.
Which is weird because, and again, all right, but, you know, I sound like a snob. But if you go to practice, you really appreciate Bergeron because... he could do a lot more offensively than what he does. Like, if you go to practice, and this is even when Sagan was on the team, and who's the guy that from the fourth line that was just, like, the fastest guy on the team?
Oh, Paille?
Paille, thank you. You would see Bergeron out there, and he was so offensively gifted that if he devoted himself to that kind of game, he would... be one of the best, I think, you know, one of the best offensive players in hockey. You know, that's not just like a weird snipe.
And he still scored 30 goals in a season.
Right.
Despite all of this, he still has a 30-goal season.
But if you watch him in practice, like he's by far the best player on the team.
Not even a first-round pick. Patrice Bergeron.
Second-round pick, correct?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I've been here since he's been on the team, and I am no young buck. I moved here when I was 31.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Celtics were on very late, and it was all conversation. They were up 11 to nothing, and then Draymond Green says, look at me. I got coached by Tom Izzo for 4 years seasons, so I'm going to do good things.
Boogie, kick out. Draymond Green's had a terrible year shooting a three, but he knocks this one down.
Everybody has a terrible year against the Celtics, and then you say, oh, you just knocked down the shot.
Remember that 11-0 start? Lead is down to 1, 13-12.
But do not fear, Celtics fans. Boogie Cousins, which I hate, he got very frustrated, and he said, I'm going to go after someone whose ass I could totally kick, and then another guy would probably be a draw.
Bane's trying to hold his ground.
Bane.
Boogie knocks him over. Got to be an offensive foul. Easy call. Oh, Boogie just barking at Aaron Baines. Here comes a technical. Now Boogie shoves Tatum. Shoved Aaron Baines. Boogie's night is definitely going to be over here. I'll tell you what. You mess with Aaron Baines, it might not just be your night that's over. This is turning into a dream night for the Celtics. I mean, what else could you want but a situation where they have to stand up for each other even more?
Yeah, what else could you possibly want?
Ah. Oh, they like each other now.
Yeah.
I see.
And by the way, Cousins, Baines, I'm not handing that to Baines right away.
No.
Me neither.
Boogie's that special kind of crazy.
Stop calling him.
I know. I did that on purpose. DeMarcus is a special kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Baines may be stronger, but Cousins has that gene, that weird gene that you look
who
at.
Who else got
it?
He would destroy Tatum.
Well, no, yeah, and then, Tatum's not a conversation.
And then Rozier's a little crazy, too, but obviously he'd stomp on Rozier.
Size is
yeah,
different.
I wouldn't give that.
That's a draw. No, I agree. That's a draw.
Because even Marcus Smart, who I think has like spastic strength, I don't like him against Cousins.
No.
By the way, Cousins seemed a little out of place in the bit of the game that I watched before I hit the old hay. I did not see Cousins seemed a little out of place. I don't know. It seemed like he was kind of disrupting.
Square peg, round hole.
He started last night, right?
I mean,
they hadn't been starting him. How long has that been? I haven't been paying attention. Yeah,
what the hell do I know? I don't know.
But by the way, Brad Stevens, with all the conversation, you should start Jalen Brown, you should move Gordon Hayward.
I did nothing. Yeah, I thought nothing. I was
Everything
blown away
was
they
exactly
didn't make a lineup
the same.
Change.
Lineup was exactly the same.
All right, well, I'll tell you this. If you were wondering how they did so well, we'll go Kyrie 3 on this bad boy.
Kyrie 3,
yeah.
That long plane ride helped us out. I'll just say that. That long plane ride helped us out. You know, we needed it. We needed it. We were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world, and it doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this. So.
All right, we're going to get to more of what Kyrie Irving's saying because none of it makes any sense. The long plane ride?
A little bro time.
Yeah.
That's all.
They had some peanuts.
Yeah.
Well, a few plain peanuts.
A lot of talking.
I think what he's referring to.
A flat soda.
Is it gave them 6 hours of not looking at the media, is the way that I took it. And he.
They watch like A Star Is Born.
Right. And then they go, oh, that's suicide. None of you guys kill yourself. but he can't. And by the way, I just say that the lead in that killed himself because it's the third time it was made. And every time someone complains to me, I've seen none of them. But I think if a movie's been remade, this is the third time.
Fourth time. Yeah, I just saw that the other day. The first time was like 1932 or something.
It was like 38.
Bradley Cooper, genius, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genius. Academy Award
nomination. Well, listen, he's in love with Lady Gaga.
I think that's obvious.
Obviously. Apparently, did you hear what Gaga said on the Kimmel show?
Yeah, The Fooled You?
Yeah, well, yeah, that, but she was like, I find it so funny, it's Bradley Cooper, like, he decided on how it was going to be all lit, that he brought in Lady Gaga as, like, lighting person. He like, had completely choreographed that he was going to sit there. The idea that was any kind of an organic performance, and I refuse to listen to him sing, so I did not watch it.
Is that what you call it, singing? What are you doing?
Does he suck at singing?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you watched it, and he was a bad singer.
Oh, the live thing. People told me he was good in the movie. I've not seen the movie, but from what I've heard, he wasn't very good in the movie, and the live thing was awful.
Yeah. I'm not positive I like him.
I like him just fine. I don't love all the credit he gets for remaking a movie for the fourth time, as you just said.
Right.
Like, what a genius.
That seems like a little easier.
What a concept that he came up with. It's the fourth time the movie's been made. Seems like a bit much.
But understanding the story, isn't Kris Kristofferson like the guy that should be in the movie? Like that, like, kind of outlawed country guy?
Yeah, sure.
Like, why does Bradley Cooper make that?
Because he's a hunk.
I think
more people will watch.
I think he went on the road for like a concert with Pearl Jam, so he's got the.
Oh, if you're down with
he's
the
he's a hunk and he's got the chops. What do you need?
I think that's why.
If you're down with the jam, then you know what it's good. All right, Gordon.
Him and Peter Gammons were taking it in.
Gammons has gotten away with so much. The first time we had him in, we were like, "Oh, Peter Gammons, we're in Boston." He's like, "You know, I played with a." You know, I saw
Tedeschi
a guy.
Tedeschi Trucks Band.
I saw a guy in North Carolina. I saw Little Richard, and there was a left-handed guitar player that was playing with him. Any guesses?
I opened up for Buddy Guy.
A little guy named Jimi Hendrix.
Hey. You know, I don't think there's anything in terms of nerves or off schedule that applies to anyone at this
point. He would call us up. Jokes aside, he would call us up. In like a racquetball court where they were doing construction work.
Yeah.
The two best baseball towns in America.
And by the way, you know, baseball season's in the summer.
Yep.
Wouldn't be so difficult to take a step outside.
No.
Gammon's got to put up the plates. You know, he's got to lift a little metal in the middle of the day.
What is an interview without hearing a nail gun in the background? I ask you.
I mean, he was in a room where they were nailing something in an echoey room.
I'm going to go away.
So I can remember in all these years covering it, but people cared so much about the other team.
That was him 100 leagues under the sea.
So I'm going to stand in this parking garage with echoes all over the place.
Oh, you think he was in a parking
garage?
Well,
I'm just trying, whatever the case may be.
That's giving him way too much credit. He was in a gym.
Sounded like a railroad spike they were hammering away at.
No, do boink, boink. Who knows where the hell
that,
it is.
The price has to be right. And Scott did not have a great winter last year with Lokes and Bourne and some of those other guys. I think when you look, you lost Cano. In my mind, the next best free agent on the market is Bart McCann.
There you go.
So, by the way,
the Cano
thing was really smart. But I always picture him if someone could make an animation of him absentmindedly just hitting a gimp with a whip.
Yep.
Like he's sitting there and he's like, and he's just, you know, he's
talking a little baseball.
Yeah, talking a little baseball. He's whipping a guy. All right, we will be right back.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rozier through the center court logo. Floats it into the corner. Open. Kyrie, three. Got it.
Oh, wait. He's not making a great play there.
A 9-0 Boston run. Curry runs over a man. Offensive foul. There will be no suspense tonight.
What the hell are you doing? You calling this?
You heard what I said.
Yeah, 128-95. Celtics over Golden State last night as they continue to beat the... play better against good teams than they do against average to poor teams. I'll tell you what, don't bother having your kid play basketball.
Why not?
I'll tell you this, is that A, they're all huge and can handle the ball and shoot threes. And then if you're small, I mean, Steph Curry's just like, all right, dude, you're shooting 5 feet behind the three with a hand in your face and you're just like knocking things down. That's your dad was a pro player and you just wanted his approval. And so you went out there and did that. I mean, Steph Curry, it's ridiculous.
Dad, look at me. I'm sorry, kid. I got to go to Boston.
No. You know, when you
get... Don't go on another road trip, Dad. I can shoot from 30 feet.
Yeah.
No, no, sorry. I got to do it.
That's exactly what it is. He's like, you know, his dad, you know, probably taught him the correct form and everything else, and then he hung around and he wanted the approval.
Yep.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys. I heard you touch on the... Celtics plane ride out. I couldn't help but noticing that Gordon Hayward has a shiner under his left eye.
He did.
I thought I saw something on the side of Kyrie's left face, wondering if they had a fight club on the flight out.
Now, does anyone know why Hayward had a black eye?
It happened in the game before the road trip.
Correct. No, it was even before the Houston.
Two games. I mean, I think he suffered it on the court.
Yeah, I think it was Friday night against Washington.
Yeah, he suffered it on the court.
Yeah. So we can say with all certainty it was not a fight on the airplane.
Yes.
Well, maybe it opened back up in the fight on the airplane.
Hey, maybe it was fading away, you're saying? Yeah, and yeah, then a solid sock, a knuckle sandwich right there to the
exactly.
eye knocked him silly?
Yeah.
All right. And did anyone see anything on Kyrie Irving that looked as if he'd been bumped? Maybe he was thinking too hard.
I saw that Uncle Drew hat on his head after post game again yesterday. But he doesn't want attention.
Nope.
Doesn't want cameras in his face.
Kyrie Irving after every game or before every game is just...
real treat.
Is a riddle upon a riddle. Because I don't think he's dumb.
No.
I just think he has no idea what to say. And I think he's emotionally... like a 12-year-old trying on different personalities. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling. I know that was a big win for the Celtics last night, but I mean, everyone's been beating Golden State lately. I just want to, Kyrie Irving as a leader, I've heard you guys say multiple times, and I mean, that James Harden is like the ultimate loser, but how come no one looks at James Harden as a leader? Like, isn't he a much better leader than Kyrie? I mean, the guy's averaging 40 points like in the last like 3 months to bring his team within, like, I don't know, fourth, fifth in the Western standings. And the West is so much tougher than the East. I mean, just look at LeBron. He's not even going to make the playoffs this year. So, I don't know. I just want to see what you guys think about that. Thank you.
I don't think that's true at all. I think James Harden is fortunate to play in an offense where Mike D'Antoni's like, here, take the ball, I mean, do whatever you want with it.
No, Harden's
you want.
Harden's fascinating because they give him the ball and you ain't getting it back.
Yeah. I mean, other people score because Harden gets tired.
I mean, like, so maybe James Harden's a better leader than Kyrie, but what does that say? Kyrie's an awful leader. So I don't know. I mean, now we're splitting hairs between the two of them. Like, right. I don't know.
I just know that watching Harden play is a great joy.
Yeah. No, it's a treat to watch him.
I don't know if I've seen
any... he can score from anywhere.
Well,
he can shoot from anywhere,
I don't know how much he can score from anywhere. He certainly has the opportunity to.
Yeah, that's my point. He has the ball, 70% of the time? 80% of the time?
I think you're giving him, you're shortchanging him. I mean, he is the most he'll do is drive and kick out. Other than that, I don't think there's possessions where he's in the game and he doesn't handle the ball. All right, we will talk to Bruce Cassidy. He of a team that has gotten points in several games, all the games in February, now into March, even though Adam Jones thinks
that's a nice little...
He throws them into the trash.
Nice little streak, yeah.
Yeah, nice little streak. As opposed to the other thing, which could be losing games.
Well, yeah. Well, they did that last weekend, yeah.
Very good. All right, but Cassidy joins us. No commercials here, just that.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.